Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you for the music, Marion. I was waiting for the echoes of that last note to just die out a little bit. Let's take our blue book and turn to number 15, O Prince of Peace. And those of you who remember Handel's Messiah, there's the Isaiah prophecy there. Isaiah prophesied the Messiah would come and he would be called the Prince of Peace. And we are worshiping the Prince of Peace today. This song comes from Indonesia, and we have a sibling Mennonite church there. 86% of the people there are Muslim, and 10% are Christian. So there's probably a lot that we could learn from that kind of world. The melody is, one could call it a melody from that culture, an indigenous melody. When European and North American people went to tell the gospel in other parts of the world, they often first taught them melodies from our culture. And even now, we'll sing some of the old gospel songs, you know, they sound a lot like barbershop quartet. Like, we have adopted the melodies from our culture and today as well. So it took a long time for people to, in those parts of the world, to feel strong enough to say, I want to use the melody from our culture. I want to sing that one. And so this is one of those. And it's a prayer to Jesus. It declares we've come to worship the holy God and King. It calls the nations to rejoice. And it declares that God knows each one of us, wherever we come from. And we pray, and it prays that he will be our guide. Let's stand and sing number 15.
Good morning, and welcome to our worship service on this beautiful Sunday morning. Even though the sun may not be shining, I'm always thankful for days where there's hardly any wind. My name's Carla. For those of you who are squinting on your computer screen or who are at the back squinting away to see who's up front, we're happy that you are able to join us in person or online for Transfiguration Sunday. Today's call to worship was written by Reverend Rob Smith. Beyond our busyness, above the cold winter floor, there is a glory rising born of heaven and reaching out to each one of us. A light that shines through the clouds, an invitation seeking all who we are that transfigures the world, that transforms darkness into hope, that brings life from a cross where old life ends and new life is born. In glory, Jesus meets us here, raising us from depths of valley to the height of the mountain, carrying the weight of our humanity to the heights of heaven's glory. Let us worship from the mountain and hear again, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." Let's pray. Reveal your presence to us this day O God of light, love, and glory, as you did to your servants at the foot of the mountain, send your spirit to show us your story. May the brilliance of your face illuminate this place as we dare to proclaim your word. And may we, your people, be never unable to tell of all that we have heard. Amen.
Let's take our green book. This next song is, He Came Down That We May Have Love, and a few other things here. Our printer broke, so I'm trying to use this electronic device up here. It's like, what is this? I have no idea. Just hang on. Okay, there. There. And, you know, I had to look up where this song came from. And I noticed this would be very kind of familiar to Tromhan and Lois, because it's Cameroon, which I thought, where is that? And it's in Africa, which I didn't really know. Like, I kind of knew, but I wasn't sure, so I had to look it up. And that's where the melody comes from. It declares, hang on here. It's a song of praise, and it always ends with hallelujah forevermore, and it answers the question, why did the Almighty God come down to earth in Jesus? That we may have love, peace, and joy. Let's stand and sing that. Sounds pretty good from up here, though you never know, my hearing might be going, so. Let's take the blue book. This way I'm going to set this guitar down. And the next song we want to sing is called I Sing the Mighty Power of God, 46. I Sing the Mighty Power of God. And it's a declaration. We are saying who God is. This is what we believe. He's the creator. Who are we? Well, he pronounced us good. And also that our life is borrowed from God. So it's kind of like not really totally ours. It's like borrowed. But in the end, I thought this is interesting. Because of the word flee in the last stanza. There's nowhere we can flee, but God is present there. You know, it's kind of assuring on the one hand, God is always with us, but also like we're going to be held accountable. So let's just remember that. Okay. Thank you.
third good morning this morning, or maybe more, I don't know. It is looking very, very warm and full in here, which is so encouraging to all of us. So nice to see the wanderers have come home, Grace and Gilbert back. They were lost, but they have been found. So we're happy to see you back. We are happy to see many who have felt it's a little bit more safe and secure to be gathered here. We do not doubt your gathering or your fervency of faith, even if we don't see your faces here on a Sunday morning. But it does encourage us and give us joy to see you in our presence. And before too long, we'll be able to shake hands and hug each other and all sorts of other things. More about that a little bit later. Let me not jump the gun. But I want to start with opportunities, because there are a number of things that we might have missed. They didn't make it into the bulletin. So I want you to know Women in Mission. Those of you who are here and those of you who have friends who are not here, please let them know that we will be meeting this Thursday. It's not written here, but we will meet nonetheless at 3 p.m. in the basement. And I know that for a fact because I am doing the devotional. If you don't show up, I will have to teach myself a thing or two. Also, for us to know and remember Wednesday of this week, Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. So that is the beginning of the season of Lent. Now, some of you may think, well, what difference does that make to me? Well, it can make two differences. For one, during the season of Lent, we have more materials that are written. So those of you who feel more comfortable being worship leader when there are written materials, here's your opportunity. For six Sundays, we are following the leader, and the big empty sheet is on the bulletin board in the back. You can sign your name in for any one of those six Sundays. That's for throughout the season of Lent. We expect Easter to come in the middle of April. We expect, because we don't know one day to the next. But we pray that we will be here to see that day. I think that's covered all the things that I've written down that are not printed. Other opportunities, you see that on Tuesday, which is actually Shrove Tuesday, Fat Tuesday. So if you want to get rid of all the fat in your house, eat it and drink it on Tuesday, but only after you've spent the day here quilting. So far, the quilts have amounted to 50, which is an amazing total, and we have 5 Tuesdays remaining. So we should reach our goal of 100 quilts, but only if you help us. Under the box of praying for, MCC Connects, MCC Saskatchewan invites your ongoing prayers for the escalating situation in the Ukraine. And that, I want to draw attention to that because, we've all been following and have our opinions and our input. Today in our prayer time, we will focus on that situation. So those who are going to be bringing prayer requests, we'll write them down, we'll take note of them, we will pray for them throughout the week, even though this morning in a formalized way we will not speak of them. So that's just so that you know in advance during our prayer time. We also see the Pray For poster that Elaine has mentioned a number of times. We are now in week 4, that's why it's underlined, and it says pray for places recovering from natural disasters. So that's the Sunday School department is inviting us through this week to pray for those places recovering. On Friday, there is the official World Day of Prayer, and really I hope that every single day these days has become a World Day of Prayer. And I expect that it has. I've seen examples of it, even on the news, where people are praying through this conflict. But this official programmed World Day of Prayer, it's a virtual, so you can see the poster that's on the bulletin board in the back. It will be live or from First United at noon on Friday. I think I've covered everything. You notice on the back of your bulletin also the printed prayer for the Ukraine. If you don't know what to say in your own private prayer time, you might want to pray through that or just read it when you have time. I think Carla has an announcement.
So executive met Friday for a fun-filled 2 hours, had great debates, and I have been deemed messenger for the following message. So executive is in agreement that we recommend people continue to wear a mask during the Sunday morning service after the restrictions are starting to lift in March. We'd like to have that recommendation for about another month, because everything's going to be fluctuating. So if you do have any other questions, feel free to ask any of us. But that's kind of our generalized statement for that topic, because we know the questions were going to be coming soon.
Let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Let's take our green book, sing the journey to the song Longing for Light, number 54. This song is a prayer, but it is also a description of what's happening. It's written by both things, text and music, by Bernadette Farrell. She's British. It's a prayer of confession, especially in line one. We confess that we wait in darkness. Line one and two, almost all the verses. Longing for peace, the world is troubled. Longing for hope, many despair. So lines one and two are describing. And the prayer starts on lines three and four, and then the chorus. Make us your own, your holy people. Make us your bread, broken for others. Make us your building, sheltering others. Let us be servants to one another. Christ, be our light. And that's what we want to sing. We'll have the intro with the last two lines of the chorus, and then we'll go from there. Let's stand, please.
Your own.
This morning's scripture reading is taken from Luke 9, verse 28 to 43. I'll actually be starting on verse 27. Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him, went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was talking about to bring fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at the time what they had seen. The next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. A man in the crowd called out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child." A spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams. It throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him, and it is destroying him. I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not. "You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the impure spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God.
One song that's not printed in the bulletin is in the blue book. We're going to sing that now. It is number 232, Christ Upon the Mountain Peak. It's pretty well the only one that actually tells the story of the transfiguration of Jesus. It's written by Brian Wren, an amazing poet. There's quite a few hymns by him in the blue book and also in subsequent books that we have. And a melody by a Mennonite who teaches at the University of Michigan, Bradley Lehman. And one thing that's interesting about this is that the story is told both in the voice of the disciples back then that were with Jesus, and also in the voice of us today, the faithful. It proclaims Jesus as Son of God, and it's always ending with the praise, Alleluia. Now, the melody is interesting because when I first encountered this, and I said this a couple of weeks ago, some songs are like, they're strangers, and then they become acquaintances, and some of them become friends, but some just stay acquaintances. You never really warm up to them all that much. This one's interesting because of a weird third, the last line. It's like, "I think I'm being transfigured." Like, where am I? Oh, here I am. So Marion's just going to play a little bit, maybe the third and last line. We're going to play the whole thing through. Okay, good. And then you'll notice how it goes. It's new, but I think very singable. So we'll just either listen or hum or sing. And the number is 232. Christ Upon the Mountain Peak. 232 in the blue book.
Christ upon the mountain peak stands.
Thank you, Ken. That song really helped. That's a really good summary of this whole text and different ideas and noticings, because I always leave this space on a Sunday if I have preached thinking of all of the things I forgot or missed in saying. It's probably better that way, and that's why we always begin with prayer before any speaking. So let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, as we come before you and your word, be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So the title in the bulletin is Three Quarters There. But there's a few words that were missed at the tail end, probably not enough room here. It says, what am I supposed to do? My question was, what am I supposed to do with this? Question mark. What am I supposed to do with this? And meaning this transfiguration story, but also a different example from my own life. When I came back from China, I brought a bunch of gifts for different people that I thought would show the country, the culture, the experiences, so that my friends would have a taste of what I was experiencing on a daily basis. And one of my closest friends, I met with her in her home, and I brought out this beautiful, what I felt, gift that showed China in all of its beauty. And it was just a piece of cloth, just about this big. Not too big, not too small. And I handed it to her, and her question was this question. What am I supposed to do with this? And yeah, you're laughing because, you know, you're like, it's true on the one hand, very honest friend, and yet, oh, you know, here it was kind of a stab in my heart. Here I was presenting what I felt was beauty in such an amazing form, and all she could say, well, what am I supposed to do with this? And I think I'm adding some flavor to it because, you know, that was years and years and years ago, and still I remember it. I hope I'm not holding a grudge, but it lives in my memory. And it's a question we ask ourselves year by year as we come to some of these stories, the things we hear again and again, and we ask ourselves, what am I supposed to do with this now? Here we have this story, we have this Sunday marked out as the Sunday before we begin the season of Lent, an event that happened, and what are we supposed to do with it? Our culture is utilitarian, production-oriented, production for the sake of consumption. These are the things that mark our society, our lives, and even our responses to all new incoming information. And many of us ask ourselves that. What am I producing? What good am I anymore? I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, I can't do this, I can't do that. And suddenly we don't see value in ourselves and maybe value in our neighbors because the value system is skewed. We look at these things, is it useful? Can I produce something? Can I consume something? And without these, the value is not there. It's negated. However, this is a totally different kind of story, and I would like for us to come with a totally different kind of mindset. At the epicenter of the story is what Carla read, the transfiguration. The climb to the top of the mountain, Jesus' glorification, even the word glory, we don't know what to do with that. What does it mean? What does it look like? What does it feel like? How does it change us? Many of the prayers and the words, even in the call to worship, included that word, glory. God's glory. And we sing it easily in the hymns, but in our lives, what does that mean? But in the telling of this story, Luke puts this story at the center of something else. There is a frame around the story. And Carla had the right idea. She backed up from the scripture portion. She said, I'm not going to start where you told me to start reading. I'm going to start reading before that, at the prior verse. And I would like to invite us to even expand our horizon even more on both sides of the story, because it's encapsulated in the whole frame. So if we want to actually get at the heart of it, we need to know what the frame is. And it's not as complex as we might be thinking now. Oh boy, where are we going to go on this journey this Sunday morning? It's as simple as A, B, C. A, assess. Assess the situation. B, begin. And C, the cloud. A, and then B, and then C. And this A, B, C comes together from both sides of the mountain peak. So if I'm doing this a lot, I'm not going to do this, but this is the mountain. Here is the cloud of glory, the transfiguration. But you need to go up the mountain to get there. And we begin on both sides with the assessment. Assess the situation. And that's what Jesus does. So if you have your Bibles open, looking at Luke chapter 9, you back up to verse 21 on the one side and verse 44 on the other side. Those are the two A's, the two assessments. And I use those verses because Jesus uses those verses in the same way. He says, this is my assessment. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed and humiliated and put to death and then rise again. This is the assessment. Pain, torture, death. This is the Jesus that we follow, who is fully aware of what is coming. It's not a big surprise. It's not a shock. And Jesus says, I need to tell you these things because as my followers, as my disciples, even as an interested crowd, you need to know what you're getting into. These things will happen. Betrayed, humiliated, put to death. That is the assessment. None of us can handle any of those things. It's too much. We avoid pain. We definitely avoid betrayal or look down on betrayal. And that's why it follows in verse 28, these sayings were difficult. Verse 28, 8 days after these sayings. And again, verse 45 on the other outside of the assessment. Verse 45, they didn't understand this saying. These words were so difficult to understand, so opposite of anything we expect or want. But this is an honest, true appraisal. The world is going through a lot of pain in so many different ways, maybe worldwide, maybe you personally. Are saying, this is too much for me to bear. And you're right, it is. But Jesus says, this is what I, your leader, your Prince of Peace, this is what I am going through. And I am companioning with you. I am your companion in this. And I'm telling you these things before they happen. I know what's coming. That's the bedrock of the assessment. We're still standing on solid ground. We haven't gone anywhere. And it's our choice. Are we now going to take up rock climbing? There are some in our congregation who enjoy rock climbing. I don't see any of them here today. Oh, maybe one. There was a hand, very quick hand, enjoying rock climbing. Here, some rock climbing up the mountain. It's not easy. It's not a smooth surface, and many will prefer to stay at A. Keep assessing, keep assessing. It's easier. You don't have to really put yourself out there. And yet, Jesus invites us to take that beginning step. Take the B step. Take one move up that mountainside, because we're going with Jesus. You're not on your own. In every way, Jesus is walking, climbing, journeying together with us, urging us, inviting us, come up this mountainside. And I say it's up the mountainside because we know there's a direction. We saw that story in the beginning. However, as we are journeying towards that cloud, we've left the assessment, then Jesus said, the beginning of this is, anyone here who wants to be my disciple, what happens? Take up your cross, follow me. Leave behind the things that we are straining and striving for, when we want to be productive, when we want to be well-known, when we want to be useful or helpful or whatever those things that are driving us. We want to attain, reach the pinnacle of something, or even appear to be something in the minds of our neighbors. As simple as that. Maybe we just want to be seen as pious. How many of us were happy to be seen by our neighbors going to church this morning? Even that simple, seemingly good goal, if it's for the purpose of appearances, we have already lost the essence of it. If we gain all of this, gain all of these things we're striving for in the world, and lose ourselves, lose our soul, we'll have gained nothing. But if we climb this mountain, take the step, begin this step and say, no, I want to leave beside the things that drive me, that I strain for, that are of concern to me, and follow the things that concern Jesus, even in my own life. The things that Jesus brings to mind through the Holy Spirit, that those would be the things that push me, not my own comforts, preferences, or self-elevation. We don't want to lose our soul. And Jesus is speaking in a very personal way, we ourselves. So this is the journey with us and Jesus. But on the other side of that mountain, when you come down from that peak that we're going to get to, what is on that other side? On the one side, it's us, me, myself, and I. I assess my lifestyle and my goals and my drives. On the other side, we find the community. When they came down the mountain after prayer, there was that huge crowd waiting for them, waiting for Jesus, expecting something. And that community was in need. This father was crying out for the healing of his son. A very essential, at the heart of who we are. Who is not concerned about their own child? The life of their own child. We heard it this morning in a request for prayer. We've prayed for weeks and months. We've prayed for our own children, our own adult children and their children. Not only those within our known groups, but our community right out here. Where is our community crying out, longing for healing, longing for hope? He came down that we might have hope and joy. And the community is calling out for this, calling and crying out, and Jesus is concerned about this. So the B, beginning, the beginning of the work within ourselves as well as the work in the community. It starts with the assessment of ourselves, assessment that the journey is going to be hard, painful, and seemingly a waste of time. We'll get into that in Easter. Then, beginning the hard rock climbing efforts of being involved in the community, as well as assessing our own preferences, the things that drive us. But both of these sides are pushing us up to the height, to that picture, to the pinnacle. And why are we going there? We are going there to pray. Jesus said, "Come with me. I want to bring you to the Father. I want to bring you with me to this place to pray. Go away. Come away with me." There's a, Nora. I thought so. Thank you, Aaron. "Come away with me." Jesus is singing this to us. Come away with me. Come to pray. Come to this mountaintop to pray. And so many things are happening in this story, as well as on the mountaintop. We will miss one or two or many, but it's just, it's amazing what happens there. The glory that happens when Jesus prays and connects himself to God. As he is praying, he is transfigured. God's glory is shining through him, in his clothes, all around him. See God's glory. And I feel, I have felt in the weeks past, show us your glory. And I close my fists because I feel like I'm pounding on the gates of heaven. Show us your glory. Be involved in our world, because we believe. We believe that God is glory, that God has all power and might. Show us. Yet this prayer is very different than that. This kind of show us your glory, change everything for us. That's not the way it happens here. But the picture, the story that unfolds is a story of God being involved in all of humanity throughout all of time. 8 days after these things happened, verse 28 of Luke, simple little phrase that means almost nothing to us other than a week and a day. 8 days is the time at which a young child which is born, a boy, would be circumcised on the eighth day and given a name. You are then included in the family of God. And this little phrase, 8 days after this, would evoke all of these realizations for Luke's hearers. Being involved, being collected into the family of God, welcomed into the family. The father of John the Baptist was only able to name his son after he had become mute because he didn't believe what God was going to do. He knew what was coming, but he didn't quite believe it. And when it was time after the baby, John the Baptist, was born, he was able to speak and he said, "His name is John." The naming. "I've called you by name. I know who you are." In the midst of all of this glory that we don't know what to do with, this God who has called us by name, who has welcomed us into the family of God, is there to meet us. And Jesus invites us, come and meet this God who has walked with you all of these years, throughout all of human history. "I have been walking with you." The cloud of presence. The cloud that comes over the mountain, and suddenly many of us should be thinking, "Oh, I remember the story of Moses on Mount Sinai when he met with God." He experienced the presence of God, the cloud of God's presence. In Exodus chapter 24, Exodus chapter 34, and especially Exodus chapter 33, verse 16, where Moses himself says, "Show me your glory. If I'm supposed to be doing this work for you, if I'm supposed to become transfigured myself, if I'm supposed to change from the person I would normally be, show me your glory. And God says to Moses, you can't see my face, but I'll place you in the cleft of the rock. You know that song? He hides me in the cleft of the rock. And there, I'm getting choked up. There, he covers me with his hand. And that's what God did for Moses. Covers me right there in the cleft of the rock, and his glory passed by. These things don't happen when we are too busy at the surface level. And when we don't say, yes, I want to follow Jesus. When we don't reject the things that we think are so wonderful and magnificent. Rather, take the hard road. Assess it. It's difficult. Begin the journey. But this God who is glory, whose glory filled the tabernacle and all of the Israelites who gathered around, couldn't move. As long as that cloud of God's presence filled the tabernacle, they could not move. Jesus invites us, together with his disciples, come away and pray. Experience the presence of God. And there the voice comes out of the cloud. The voice that says, this is my son, my chosen. And we recall, hey, that's what happened when Jesus was baptized. You are my beloved. I've chosen you. And we who are baptized have entered into this same baptism together with Jesus. Jesus, our brother, our companion on this journey. My son, my chosen, listen. Listen. That's partly why I chose a different kind of prayer today. The silence of prayer rather than too much speaking. The coming into God's presence, not knowing. The waiting for the cloud of God's presence to overwhelm us. It might be fearful, but this God is close and gathers us. He is as concerned about you as he is about the community all around, demonstrated in his healing of a small boy. God is present. God is glorious. The journey is long, but we can journey together with Jesus. This story ties all of history together, of God's journeying together with God's people. May it be us who are ready for this journey. Amen.
Thank you, Lois. And the meditations of our heart, I'm sure, will continue as we leave here. Lots of thoughts to ponder. Take our blue book, please. Move in Our Midst. And this song, when you talked about the silence of prayer, I right away thought of that song through our fragmentary prayers, you know, and there's that jabbering part where you just kind of just hum because you don't have words. But this next song's got lots of words, so it's not quite like that. This is a prayer for God to be with us as we come down from the mountain. I want you to imagine that you were up there with the disciples and you saw this amazing, amazing thing happen. You were part of it. And now you're coming down, and that's where this hymn starts. Go with us down from thy holy hill. And then it's amazing when you start listing them, how many things we're asking for. Oh my goodness. So there is definitely a time for listening, but this song is a prayer for God to act, to help us in the storm or the calm, to touch, to heal, to guide, to show, to transform our darkness into light, to lead, to strike from our hands things that are in the way, to lift from our lives, to teach us. And the melody has got a real cool unison part to help us feel stronger, so let's stand and sing that.
Please bow for the benediction. May God be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
Good singing, everybody. We got one more. For 366. God of grace and God of glory, we never know the future, but we may be facing some very challenging days ahead. This song is a prayer that God go with us, that God give us wisdom and courage for the facing of these days.
Thank you. Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.